David, you there?
Yes, sir. I sure am. Praise, hi, Richie.
Praise God. David Eales has not been on Watch From Radio since I checked today, since July of 2004.
Oh, boy.
Is that right?
That sounds about right.
It's a freaking long time.
That's a long time.
I think we got to blame Samuel on that, right?
Yes.
Good old Sammy. We love you. Listen, David Eales, we're just blessing the Lord. Great teachings and Bible teachings. I've learned a lot from him myself. And your website, David?
Is americaslastdays.com.
Oh, that name says a lot, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
I love those website names that you kind of sum everything up in one, you know, URL. You know what I mean?
Some people are quite offended at that name, though.
I'm sure they are, David. But, you know, from the last time I remember you on, you touched on some great revelation of Ecclesiastes 1 about the things that have been shall be again. I mean, that was like one of the greatest things I ever heard. I mean, you know, it's just... Has God expounded on that any with you?
Oh, constantly. That revelation, the Lord has just continued to explode in my mind over the years.
Mm.
He's shown me much prophecy that people don't consider prophecy because of that revelation. Because all of history is a prophecy if it repeats, right?
Amen, yeah.
So
I've been thinking about that lately with, you know, how we see in Daniel about, you know, Iraq... You know, what's going on in Iraq and, you know, with Persia and Media, you know, all the things that are manifesting. I mean, it's really, we're really seeing the platform birthing for this whole Antichrist system to manifest.
Oh, truly so.
And yeah. I would like you to just share on whatever the Lord has on your heart, to be honest with you, you know.
Okay. Maybe I'll start from where you're leaving off right now. Sounds
Amen.
Pretty good.
Amen.
I believe that... as you believe that a one-world order has already been designed, it's kind of just waiting in the wings for enough political capital to bring it forth. You have to have an awful lot of people come into agreement in order to in order for nations to give up their sovereignty to such a thing, and that doesn't usually happen. Matter of fact, it never happens without a lot of people getting frightened. And you know, every new world order starts with a great war, every last one of them. And it usually entails the falling of the previous world order.
Yeah.
You know, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media, Persia, Greece, Rome, each one of them conquered the previous kingdom. And it's going to be no different this time. A lot of people are waiting on the tribulation to start. Well, it is about to start, but it may not start the way a lot of people think it will. You know, if you look in Luke chapter 2, the Lord showed me one of those repetitions of history was when Caesar Augustus went out, made a decree to enroll. Actually, the word there is enroll, not tax. It's apographe. It means a separation, a writing of separation.
Mm.
And it was an enrollment. History even records this enrollment. It doesn't record any tax at that time. But anyway, he went out, he made a decree for all the world to be enrolled. And, of course, that's to find out who's in my kingdom, right? The one world order kingdom, headed up by the great eagle.
Mm.
You know, Caesar, their standards all had the great eagle on it, and their symbols was the great eagle. And anyway, at that time, we know that Mary and Joseph came there, and of course the man-child was born, which is a type of history that's going to be repeated in our day. The man-child of Revelation 12 is also going to be birthed at the time of this enrollment in our day. And the thing is that, like I was saying, no world order comes to pass without the previous world order falling. And I discovered what the Lord showed me years ago was that all seven heads of this one world order in our day are types and shadows of it.
Mm.
I mean, you can take Egypt, you can see parts and types and shadows of what's going to happen in our day, Assyria, Babylon, all the way down. Each one of them is a type and a shadow in itself of the ultimate world order beast, which has all of the seed of all the previous beasts in it. in the UN right now, as a matter of fact. They're all in it. Well, to describe what is about to happen, you could go to Daniel chapter 2 and look at this world order, which is called the image of the beast in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 31. And I'm not going to read it because most all of you have already read it, but you see there that a world order is being made up of world-ruling kingdoms, one right on top of the other. And if this made up an image of the beast, which is identified actually as the image of the beast in Daniel chapter 3, where it was the image of gold and its height was 60 cubits, that's 60 cubits, and the breadth thereof was 6 cubits, and it was set up in the plain of Dura, which means the circle or dwelling. It was a symbol for the world, and the world in Gematria is 600, so you got 666. There's your image of the beast. And what is it? But all world-ruling kingdoms in one world order. And who's at the top of this? Well, the great eagle, once more, because Babylon was called by God in Ezekiel 17 the great eagle. So this great eagle now has created this one world order. Now, we're waiting for this to happen. This is about to happen, okay? There's only one thing stopping it from happening, and that is the fall of the previous order. Well, the previous order, if you remember, is Assyria. Now, the thing about Assyria, God just loves symbolism because he identifies every kingdom by symbols, you see.
Yeah.
And the Assyrian kingdom is alive today throughout the Middle East. Do you know what the god of the Assyrian one world order was? It was the moon god. That's right, folks. That's where Islam...
The moon god, right?
Yes, the moon god.
I believe Islam.
If you notice, all the Islamic flags have the moon on it, right?
Yeah.
Well, they just happen to live in the same territory that Assyria lived in. And
That's right. Now, actually, Sennacherib, that name of his name meant like lover of moon god or something.
Yeah. Exactly. So, I mean, you know, the Islam did the same thing that Catholicism did. They took a lot of gods and joined them together and so they could get people to join together, you see. And then they made a composite god out of this thing. So, same thing Catholicism did. Well, anyway, Assyria has to fall. Now, we know that, or at least let me say the seed of all that Assyrian empire is in Islam today, and that is about to, we're about to see a great war here. You see, a lot of people aren't expecting this, but it's going to frighten the world so much that they're going to cry peace and safety.
Wow.
And they're going to put together what's already been designed. Okay? And we see the story of this, by the way, this great war between Babylon and the whole Middle Eastern kingdom there in Jeremiah 25. And it basically tells us that Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant... I will bring him against all of this land and against all the inhabitants thereof and all these nations round about. And he's talking about round about Israel there. And he even names the nations, of course, with their ancient names there. And they are the nations of Palestine and Jordan and Lebanon and Saudi Arabia and Iran and the Kurds and Syria. All these nations he speaks about in Jeremiah 25. Some people are expecting another war in the Middle East, but this is the war that's about to happen here, you see. In verse 11 of Jeremiah 25, it says, "And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. Well, you know, in other words, before this 70 years, there is going to be a mess in the Middle East, okay? The 70 years, God spoke to me one day, and he said, that's 7 years in our time.
Mm.
And so, if you, as a matter of fact, you can prove that. You go over to the book of Revelation, you find out when did Babylon fall, the harlot, when did it fall? It fell at the end of 7 years, not at the end of 70 years, but 7 years. And in 70 A.D. is when the harlot of apostate Israel fell, because Jesus said they were guilty of the blood of the saints and of the prophets, didn't he? All right, so you have, throughout history there has been a harlot, and it's always those that are Judases to the people of God, you know, to the true people of God, let me say. Anyway, you see here that this whole land is going to be a desolation. We're about to see a war over there in the Middle East that's not going to be, they're not going to be totally conquered by Babylon. Babylon is just the catalyst, and I mean America is the catalyst of this thing. They've started the mess. But you see right now people choosing sides between the Shiites and the Sunnis, and who's going to back who. That's all being divvied up right now, as a matter of fact. They're getting ready.
Yeah, right.
They know this thing's about to happen. You know, a terrible war is about to come to pass over there. Well, it tells us here that they'll serve the king of Babylon for 70 years. And verse 12 says, "And it shall come to pass when the 70 years are accomplished, then I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, says the Lord, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and I will make it desolate forever." Well, the same story starts in verse 16 on down through verse 26, and basically talks about bringing the cup of wrath to these Middle Eastern nations. And after this happens, the cup of wrath is then turned on the king of Shishak, and she's going to drink of this cup of wrath after them. And that's in verse 26. Shishak is an ancient name also for Babylon. Many of you would notice verse 27, 28, where A.A. Allen's vision, which is one of the greatest visions of the fall of the United States out there, and the Lord quoted this, verse 27, verse 28, verse 29, as the fall of America. And so we see that after this great war, that America is, some people think that America's going to fall pre-trib. Well, it ain't going to happen, I can tell you that. It's just not going to happen. It doesn't fit anything in the scriptures. There was a threat like that, and Richie, you know about that from back previous 2000. You and I talked about that back then.
Yeah.
But the Lord showed me a vision back in, 1996. He showed me a vision of America being Nineveh. And as you know, Nineveh was the capital of the Assyrian Empire that was due to fall, but God spared it, and he spared it for a particular purpose. He spared it for the purpose of Nineveh as the head of the empire conquering God's people, because God's people were in apostasy, and they needed to go to their cross. Mm. God had now raised up another beast kingdom to conquer them and bring them to their cross, as he has today. I mean, history just keeps repeating the same sequence of events. I mean, God's people rebel, they do their own thing, God raises up a beast.
Wow.
He brings the beast against them, brings them to their cross, they repent, he conquers the beast. Same old story. It's just the same story over and over and over.
You're right.
It's hard to miss, you know. So basically, the same thing is coming this time. America was Nineveh. God had threatened to destroy Nineveh before tribulating the saints, but he didn't do it. He delayed it, and then he conquered them after they tribulated the saints. And the Lord told me in 1996 that the pre-trib judgment upon America was going to be delayed until after the tribulation of the saints. Okay, and so you see that here too, by the way. In this text, you see the same thing, that at the end of the 70 years, or in Revelation, at the end of the 7 years, Babylon falls and is taken to their cross, basically speaking. So this sequence of events, which was delayed pre-2000, is about to start up again. And this time, it's not going to be delayed. I mean, we've had two delays. We had a delay in 2000, and we have a delay in 2006. Both of them the Bible code speaks about. Both of them are mentioned, by the way, in Amos, I believe it's chapter 7. There's two delays before the third judgment begins and goes ahead and happens this time. I mean, God doesn't pass by his people again the third time. The judgment happens, you see. Well, we've had those two delays, both historically, and, you know, the Bible code mentions it. The Bible itself mentions both of these. And now all these things are about to begin, and there isn't going to be a delay. And going to begin again with a great war in the Middle East. Now,
wow.
Now, I'm not saying that's the first thing that's going to happen. I believe we're going to have some earthquakes like America's never seen. I believe we're going to have some natural catastrophes along with this great war. And I think the main reason for that is because people think if you have a war, they don't blame that on God. And some people think that natural catastrophes are God. They're more impressed with them that they're God. Well, anyway, I think God is going to prove himself through these things, and I believe he's going to restore the fear of the Lord to the people that are his elect anyway. I mean, obviously the world is never going to accept him, but the elect of God will. The chosen of God will. They will receive the fear of the Lord. And thank God for that. But we need this beast kingdom, folks. Some are out there diligently trying to stop this beast kingdom from coming and coming to fruition, but they're fighting against God because, let me tell you, he took credit for building every last one of them in the Scriptures. He put them together. Read Isaiah chapter 10 about the Assyrian Empire.
Yeah, you're
right. They thought it was their idea to come and plunder Israel, but God said, no, no, I put it in your heart. I said, he said, what's the axe doing boasting itself against him that wields it, you know?
Yeah.
You're just my axe, you know?
It says that in Daniel, that it's not, you know, the Antichrist, that little horn will grow great, but not by his own power.
Exactly. So, you know, the Bible doesn't give any sovereignty to the devil, nor to the beast, nor to the Illuminati.
Yeah.
The Lord God is sovereign, and he works all things after the counsel of his own will, and no one restrains his hand, Daniel said. In fact, he rules in the kingdom of heaven and upon the earth, and no one restrains his hand, Daniel said. And that's
right.
The truth. A man
right.
can receive nothing yeah. except it come from heaven, the Bible says. So the reason history repeats itself very, very consistently is because there is only one mind in control. If there were two minds in control, like some people think, God and the devil, this would not happen. The truth is, God Almighty is just that. He's Almighty. And just like in Job, he permits to happen to his people what is necessary to happen to his people to bring them to maturity. But that should give us some confidence. That should give us some peace concerning what God is doing here. He's doing this for us. You know, he's not doing this just to us. You know, he's doing this for us. You know, that's the great thing. So many are afraid, you know, of the things that are coming upon the world. But I tell you what, folks, this is a very controlled thing that's about to happen here. You know, I mean, when the judgments came upon Egypt to deliver God's people and out of Egypt, well, those judgments weren't coming to destroy the Egyptians. I mean, the Israelis, they were coming to destroy the Egyptians, and they were coming to put the fear of God in the Israelis and to separate them from Egypt. I mean, God is a good God, and he's doing a tribulation. Isn't a tribulation if all of God's people are destroyed before it gets going good, you know? And, you know, tribulation is for the saints. Wrath is for the wicked, but tribulation is for the saints. So God is going to, through much tribulation, cause us to enter into his kingdom and walk in the kingdom of God while we're here on this earth. But first there's going to be this 7 years. Now, some people take from this that America is going to be prosperous and so on and so forth. Well, I have to say that the people that think America is going to fall and stumble and be the third world nation at the beginning of this thing, they are not watching history here, folks. Look at what's happening here. Babylon, in Revelation 18, was still the head of the nations just before she fell. You know, that great city of Babylon. Well, you say, well, David, what about that city? Why is it a city? Well, because it's a corporate city. It's a corporate city just like the woman that rides the beast is a corporate woman, and the beast is a corporate beast. I mean, you don't, that woman that's called the harlot is worldwide. And yet she is riding on the top of that beast. Well, anyway, the great eagle of our time is going to be the head of the nations. And yes, America's going to take hit after hit after hit, and that's for the purpose of bringing the elect in her to repentance. I mean, God is going to ratchet up the judgments, keep doing this, until the fear of the Lord comes to those who were chosen of him from the foundation of the world. And these people are all going to repent, you know. There are many called, but few chosen. Many people will not repent. Many Christians, so-called, loosely called, will take the mark of the beast, and they will serve that kingdom because they don't have any faith to go through the wilderness, you know.
Amen.
But at any rate, this world beast kingdom is God's creation. The mark of the beast is God's creation, because he wants to separate his people from Egypt. He wants to put them into the wilderness where they can't buy and sell with the world, where they have to learn to walk by faith, where he will teach them that he is their God in all things, and his, and their provision will come out of heaven. And I've had a unique experience. I wouldn't say it's unique to the whole world, but I mean it is unique among a lot of people, and that is that the Lord spoke to me many, many years ago, and he told me, he said, I'm bringing you through a wilderness so you can tell my people that I still supply there. And folks, I've seen most awesome miracles of God's provision over the last 34 years. The Lord has shown me how he's going to take care of his people in this wilderness when the whole world hates you, when the whole world is out to destroy you. That is going to restore the fear of the Lord in God's people. It's also going to restore the people of God learning to abide in the secret place of the Most High. Because if you understand,
amen,
if you understand this world beast kingdom, and you're hated of all nations for my name's sake, Jesus said, for my name's sake, you know, then you're going to find out what it is that is pleasing to God, what it is that is going to cause God to be your protector, and you're going to learn to abide there. And you're also going to learn how to multiply the fishes and the loaves, and how to translate from one place to another, and so on and on and on. And I've gotten to see these things. I've gotten to see food multiplied. I've gotten,
wow,
to see gasoline multiplied. I've gotten to see my children healed for consistently. You know, I raised five kids, and I found out the Word of God is true.
Amen.
None of my kids ever had to go to doctors or take medicine because I prayed for them. And God healed them consistently. And they had broken bones, and God still healed them.
Wow.
And we've had miracle after miracle after miracle. Listen, folks, in the wilderness that's coming, you're not going to be able to buy and sell with the world. You can't do business with Egypt anymore. But that's the place where God's power is made perfect. Where? In your weakness. That's what he told Paul, right?
Amen. Yeah.
See, we're going to be put in an extremely weak position, but this is going to be to our advantage because the power of God is going to be plenty when we get into that position. Now, the Lord's put me in a weak position for many years in different circumstances, and he forbid me from doing certain things so that I would be in a position of weakness so I could see his miracles, you know. And I've seen him multiply food, and I've seen him put food in our stomachs.
Funny you mention that, because Chris multiplies Cheetos.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. I saw him multi, like crunching you over here.
Yeah. Just, he always blames
but,
me when he eats so, something. He always blames me.
Yeah, mucus, Mike. Somebody was asking in the chat room, does David have a website? Obviously, they weren't listening earlier, were they?
No. You can go to our website. It's americaslastdays.com. And I especially recommend that you watch the videos there called Hidden Manna for the End Times.
Oh,
and it is revelations that the Lord has given me over the years through the Word of Knowledge and Wisdom of things that have been hidden for these days that are going to come forth in these days, revelations, wonderful revelations in these days to keep God's people through this time of coming wilderness. I'm excited about the wilderness. I know people are fearful. I mean, and that comes from just studying the bad, folks. You can curse the darkness or you can light a candle. Now, which is smarter, you know? And the Apostle Paul told us to be wise unto that which is good and simple unto that which is evil. You keep studying the conspiracies and the evil, you kind of get fearful. But if you start looking in the book and see what God's going to do about it, your faith starts getting built up. I'm very encouraged about what's coming. I know... that God's people are going to come into the image of Jesus Christ. That's his plan.
Amen. Yeah.
He's going to manifest himself in his people. He calls it the Epiphany. The Epiphany is coming before the Parousia, folks. The Parousia is the physical coming of the Lord, but the Epiphany is the coming of the Lord in his people.
Wow. Amen.
And that's his plan, folks. He's going to manifest himself, his son, in his people before he comes for his people. That's what the tribulation's all about.
These things happening, like you said, when we see these things manifesting, that we should be glad and joyful because our redemption draw nigh. I mean, it's a good thing. And, you know, a lot of the cake-bake churches that are manifesting, that are just preaching, you know, that they're floating out and all this stuff, They're not really prepared, though, are they, David? I mean, you know.
No, matter of fact, that doctrine is keeping them from being prepared because they don't see any need to be prepared. They don't even see a need to be spotless and blemishless. Mm, yeah. They believe that they are by faith, but of course the Bible is talking about by manifestation. If you go back and read Ephesians 4
Amen.
Carefully,
Amen.
You see that God's talking about faith is only a means to an end, folks. God wants you to exercise your faith so that you
Thank
manifest
you.
Spotless and blemishless.
Thank right? you. That's what we were touching on earlier, how, you know, it's important. You know, we touched on, you know, the fear of the Lord is a good thing if it's going to restrain our flesh.
Yeah.
You know, like Ananias and Sapphira, the whole church. Did we ever read that verse? Chris, you forgot to read that.
No, no, no. You talked
You're supposed
it.
To read that. This is like an insufficient radio show. We wanted to read Ananias and Sapphira. It says, after that happened, it says that everybody was operating in the fear of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not reverence and, you know, understanding. They actually saw people get struck dead, didn't they, David?
Yes, they did.
Yeah. I mean, that brought them to an understanding of knowledge that God doesn't play games all the time.
No, he doesn't.
And, you know, that's really about it, you know. But
well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
There
so
we
I
go.
Believe that's what we need right now. And, yeah. I'm quite sure that God is about to send some natural catastrophes and then this war. And we're actually, folks, we're in the 7 years of plenty right now. We're coming to the end of the 7 years of plenty. We're about to start the 7 years of famine. And it's going to be over the whole earth. You think, talk about the economy falling in the United States? Listen, the economy of the world is going to fall. America's still going to be at the head of the image of the beast, you know? But it's for the purpose of persecuting the saints.
Yeah, I believe it.
A lot of people don't know that, but it's... America, you patriots out there, folks, get ready. I mean, because God turns our lovers against us. That's how he teaches us the difference between the world and the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And America is going to persecute you, saints. Going to hate you and persecute you.
Yeah.
This beast is coming together with America at the head in order to raise up a great persecution against the saints.
I believe that. I believe that because, you know, the first beast system, that golden image, was created in Babylon.
Yeah.
And were any fulfillment of mystery Babylon, I think a lot of the elements, like you said, is going to be birthed right here.
Well, of course. You know, yeah. Daniel chapter 3, I mean, at the image of the beast, what was the next thing? Well, the herald cried out. Herald is the word, the Greek word for preacher in the Greek New Testament, by the way. It's the only Greek word in that text. But the herald cried out, to you it's commanded, O peoples, nations, and tongues, fall down and worship this image of the beast.
Yeah.
Well, you know, some did, didn't they?
That's right. Some didn't.
That's right.
And that's the testing and thing we're going to be going through, not to bow to this system, this mammon system that's going to be instituted, that you're not going to be able to buy or sell without bowing to it, just like mm-hmm. that image was gold coming out. It was birthed in Babylon.
Yeah.
And, you know, like he just said, you know, things are going to be going down a little bit differently than a lot of people think.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I believe that, David. You know, I really do. And what you touched on earlier about, you know, Jesus come back for a bride without a spot or blemish. And we need to walk out our salvation with fear and trembling. And there's no real fear of God manifesting from the pulpits across America anymore.
What you're saying is you don't see that spotless, blemishless bride out there on the horizon right now, do you?
No. No, not at all. But we just got to keep preaching Jesus Christ and what it means to, you know, we all fall short every day. But we need to identify those things that are dragging us down and fueling our soulless nature, that side that builds up in us, and identify it and strike it down. You know, I mean, it's like Paul said, he dies daily, doesn't he?
Yes.
Amen.
You know, and Chris is to die every 10 minutes because he's constantly manifesting. David Eales, prophetic Bible teaching, prophetic insight. Okay, and his website is www.americaslastdays.com. And I assure you, we're going to be having him back on because I learned a lot from this. And when I learn, we'll have more people on because I need to learn.
Amen.
You know what I mean? This is just awesome revelation.
Yeah, it's a good problem.
So, David, I want to thank you. If you can just hold the line, we're going to get you off the air.
Okay.
Say farewell. Everybody on WWCR tonight, WWCR, and farewell. Watching Radio saying, see you next week. Take care.